Good morning, everyone. When we were getting ready for worship this morning, the production and band team usually meet in back, and we walk through the order of service and transitions in the morning, and David, our worship leader, is going through the, and then we'll sing the offering, and then people will very likely applaud, and I said, yeah, and then I'll run up there and think that that's for me, and he goes, no, but that's for the band, and we're like, yeah, scratch both of those. Those are the ways that we praise God and thank Him for the gifts that pour out of a band, and more so even people that we hear worshiping this morning and ushering us into this summer of Acts. And we're going to get into this book of Acts over the next 12 weeks, and it's really one of the most, I think, fun, exciting books of the Bible. People often wonder if I'm new to Christianity or maybe I've been around Christianity a long time and I've never actually read the Bible. Where would I start? And they start like in Leviticus and they last like 2 minutes. And then they maybe move to Psalms, some prayers, and it's not quite the same type of language maybe that they've been speaking. So sometimes it can be difficult. And then they like maybe try out the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where they tell this story of Jesus coming into the world, living this 33 or so year life and exposing heaven itself to people and then suffering death, dying, and rising again to live again forever and forgive everybody for sin. And it's like, and then they usually last through a gospel. But it could be argued that the book of Acts is possibly the most relevant book of the Bible to your life and to mine. What we're going to see over the next 12 weeks are people, ordinary people, who Jesus loved and came and taught, and then he told them, hang on a minute. But what we're going to see over the next 12 weeks are these, we're going to walk through it almost chapter by chapter. There's 28 chapters, so we'll speed up a little bit on the way through. But what we're going to find are people that were figuring out how to be empowered by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the whole book is about. Jesus' Spirit, God's Spirit, coming and inhabiting people's lives and changing everything. And we're going to see disciples get it right and get it wrong and get off track and get back on track. You know, a lot like the church, a lot like maybe your life, especially I know firsthand, a lot like my own life. I think Acts, you're going to find, is one of the best books, most action-packed books of the Bible. And the reason it is because people get clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changes everything. So as we moved into the book, just a couple of logistical things of how the book of Acts works. Acts is really part two of the book of Luke. You know, the book got, his first diary got filled up, and so he had to get another one. So then he called that one Book of Acts. And I don't even know if he called it the Book of Acts. But Acts is really a second volume of Luke's writing. He's still writing to the same governor, Theophilus, to account for what happened after Jesus rose from the dead and all the events that took place that eventually became the rise of the church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, led by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. And so Luke is writing this this account of all of these actions. And the two books do a nice thing. They overlap, but the way the people who decided which books would be in order of the Bible, they stuck the book of John in between the two volumes. So it's like maybe we wonder if sometimes if it should be Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke, because then you could go right into Acts and it would just be like continuing the book. But they wanted us to, oh yeah, let's remember the Gospels too. So I think we read the book of Luke, and we're ready to go to Acts, but let's do another gospel just to remember that Jesus is Lord. And then we'll get to the church. So I think it's the way it works. So at the end of Luke, I want to set the book of Acts up as it comes out of Luke. And then we're going to find that it ties in exactly in the same place. This is Luke 24, last chapter of Luke. It says, Jesus told the disciples, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands, blessed his disciples, and while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You see, we get the whole storyline of Acts put up in this last couple verses of the Gospel of Luke. And then I paperclipped the whole Gospel of John. See how fast, oh man, see how fast that went? And then we get to the book of Acts, and we're in the same conversation, one of the last conversation that Jesus had with his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And isn't it funny? Jesus comes, pours his life out all the way, gets buried in a tomb, rises from the dead, and the first thing he tells the disciples, after I just showed you how to raise people from the dead, and he didn't just show them, he empowered them and they did it. He showed them how to touch people that couldn't walk and they got up because they proclaimed his name over it. He showed them how to forgive people and go out and reach the marginalized and the ones who were suffering and thinking that they weren't all that, who didn't have an identity to know that God loves them and nothing can touch that. He showed them how to not be busy, but how to find meaning in life. He really empowered them and equipped them before he laid his life down all the way. They already knew how to do it. Isn't it interesting that the last thing he tells them before he rises into heaven is, you'd think they'd be like, okay, go. And all he says is, stay in Jerusalem. In Luke. He reiterates it again in Acts, and he says, I want you to wait. Stay and wait. Stay and wait. Nobody likes to stay, not even my dog, Pete. Pete, sit. You know, give him the leash thing, and he sits down, and he's like, he'll do that because I'm here with him. But he hates to stay because I tell him to stay, and I walk away, and I go somewhere else, and every minute of staying is more and more trying to him. You know what I'm talking about? Like in the morning when it's time for devotions and we're supposed to sit and stay and wait on God. And I'm like the disciples, you're supposed to wait to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I sometimes read this stuff and I'm like, I wonder if any of the disciples jumped the gun. I wonder if they thought they were ready. They'd already done these things. They already knew what they were going to do going forward. They knew how to set a schedule. They knew how to drop nets and follow Jesus. They knew how to get up and think about, okay, we're supposed to be reaching the poor and the marginalized and the lost, people who have no hope. We're supposed to come up underneath with our own lives and lift people up. They already knew what it meant to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet they're told to stay and wait. I'm thinking if they were like me, like a 2008, I'm like, okay, winter 2008, and I'm like, I'm going to do a triathlon. Because I've had this experience in my life, and I know how to train and get good at something and get up in the morning and work out and do these things. And, it's like, you ever thought, just because you've won nationals a couple times in any given sport that, well, then I can do anything in my life. It's a nice thing to have that type of attitude of optimism. It's another thing to bring it alongside reality. See, the disciples didn't know what they were going to get into all the way. They thought they did because they'd had this experience. I signed up with the YMCA down at Walnut Creek and joined this triathlon training team. And I'd never, I could run and I could ride a bike, but not the kind of bikes they ride. And not run the kind of distance they run. And I absolutely did not know how to swim. And that's the first event. So we trained for 12 weeks, and I learned it all. Research, I got on beginnertriathlete.com, got my schedule set, and it felt like the rhythms of my life of working out like I'd done for 38 years before that. I knew how to do that. And then the announcements came from the coach. It's like, okay, before we get there, okay, we're going to have this waiting period of preparation and training, of provision to come on so that you'll actually know, when you bring this arm around, you stretch this one out or you're going to get tired and you try to float as long as you can and glide in the water. And I knew how to do that in the pool over those 10 weeks of training. But they're like, yeah, but open water is way different. It moves around. It doesn't have the two like alley lanes on the side of it that slow the surface of the water down from the person swimming next to you. And you're only swimming one person in the lane. Wait till you're getting swam over top, Volker, by 40 people. Oh, and they're drowning. It feels like you're drowning. They're just climbing right over the top of you in water. Oh, and you can't see anything because the water's not as clear as pool water. And you're going to swallow about a gallon of water out there, you know, and like your hips are going to start sinking, and you're going to have no power. And I'm like, I don't think I need to go to the open water training. It doesn't sound. I'll get a wetsuit, and I'll put the wetsuit on, and squeeze it up, suck it in. I'll get the wetsuit on. There it is. That's before the race with the smile. I got in there, and like I was up front. I thought I was going to be up front based on the way I'd been living, training, what I'd done. I thought going into this new thing with some training, I thought I'd get up front. All it did was push me down underneath everybody else until finally like the sixth grade kid climbs over top of me, puts another gallon of water down in my stomach. Kayak's coming along me now, and the guy's rowing here, and he's like, need any help? And I'm like, no. Pride can move us, can it, and carry us for a while. I got through it, planning on 27 minutes of calorie burn in my life coming out of me, preserving the rest of it for the other two events, planning on 24, 27 minutes in the water. I come out, I see the clock as I'm like barely even moving. I could no energy even to get the wetsuit off. 45 minutes, and I thought, I'm in trouble. That's two events worth of energy. You ever jumped the gun, got into something that you weren't quite ready for? And especially if anybody's ever guided you to you're not ready yet, wait. You ever jumped the gun? I mean, can't you imagine just a couple of the disciples told to wait by the Lord himself that they saw holes in his hands, hole in his side, and he tells them to wait, and he comes back from the dead. Don't you think a couple of them maybe would have thought in this, because there were 40 days before he ascended into heaven, but Pentecost that we'll get to next week, when the power actually does come, when the waiting's actually over. What about these 10 days? Jesus rises, and it's 10 more days to Pentecost when the Holy Spirit, this promised power, came to the disciples. But we know it is Pentecost. We know now there were 10 days. I'm not so sure they knew if it was going to be like 2 hours or 20 years. How do you wait in that place? Well, let's take the event, the triathlon, off your schedule. Well, yeah, but when am I going to do it? Let's just take it off the schedule and wait and keep training. That's a tough place to be. I'm thinking a couple of disciples went out of the city of Jerusalem because they had healed and touched people before. They knew how to pray for people. They watched what Jesus taught them, and they did it live. And then he, like Monday morning, quarterbacked it and said, nice job there. Let's fix this. Let's do that. Let's lift more people up. And they were out there doing this stuff. Don't you think a couple of them jumped the gun? Text doesn't tell us that. But these are ordinary people. Ordinary. Like the person sitting next to you that Jesus told to wait. What happens in the waiting? Why is the waiting so important that it took 10 days of these people's lives? What was being taught? What was being trained? What was being prepared? What was being moved over, scoot over, set down in that time? What conversations were they having? We don't get any of that in the text. What we know at the end of Luke is it says, while they waited, they went back to the community and they worshiped in the temple every day. I don't think it was singing songs the entire 24/7 times 10. It was probably like, what do you think we're going to be doing? How are we going to know when the Spirit actually comes on our life? I mean, what's it going to feel like? I mean, how will I actually know that the power of God is coming into me? That's what I'm waiting for. How do we know that in our own lives, that the power of God is coming upon us? Luke puts it this way. You're going to be clothed in the power of God. I love the metaphor. Let's see. I'm going to look across the crowd this morning. Oh, yeah. Everybody got dressed this morning. What a great metaphor. No matter how old or young you are, you get this metaphor from Jesus. You're going to be clothed in the power of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit. God himself, like is going to like this shirt. It's going to wrap around me, and you're going to put your arms into it, and you're going to button it up, and you're going to get the microphone straightened. Like, everybody will know if I leave the bottom two buttons on, and they're like, hey, you're not wearing that right. And it's like, oh, thank you, fellow person who cares about me. Thank you for pointing that out. And then I get it on right, and it's like, oh, thanks. And your zipper's up, you know. You got to make sure it's all buckled up right, right? We're going to be clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit. What's it mean? Are you wearing the clothes of the power of the Holy Spirit this morning? The extraordinary clothing that Jesus promises to you? Or are you wearing your regular clothes? It's our choice every morning. We wake up. What's it look like to be in this place of waiting? This wasn't new to the disciples. Yeah, why are we talking so much about waiting? Can't we get on to Pentecost and start moving? Maybe that's the whole point of these 10 days of waiting. We're going to wait for about 20 more minutes. And then I'm going to ask you to wait all over in the day that God gives you, in the morning that God gives you, in the noontime that he gives you, in the evening time that he gives you, in the nighttime that he gives you. Can you find places to wait, to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit? Maybe you got up this morning. I preached this last night, so it's like firsthand, you know, the first place this message goes is in the mirror to me. And I got up this morning after having exhorted, called, asked, pointed to, motivated the congregation to put on your spiritual clothes, to be clothed in the power of God this morning. And then I got up and I asked him, like, take your first breath when you open your eyes and consciousness comes alive in you again. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. If you're not sure how to do that, try it right now. Breathe in the Holy Spirit. Well, that's just a regular breath. I know. But now ascend into the heights of glory that God invites you into and put him on your mind. Put him on your heart. Don't just go for the Nike shoe when you tie it on. Every piece of clothing you put on in the morning, it's why the metaphor is there. Use every single piece of clothing, watch, glasses. It took me like 10 seconds to get this thing up on top of my head ready today. I get out of the shower, dry off, towel it, and I'm like, okay, which one of these, like, next 10 seconds are going to shape what my hair looks like today? I went for the pomade. Now, you see the rise? And it wasn't until I got to that point in my morning where I realized what came out of me last night was staring me in the face. And I started experiencing the clothing of the power of the Holy Spirit, spiritually. And it looked like pomade with the front standing up. You will be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit, is what the Bible says. It wasn't new to the disciples, and it's not new to us now. But it's extremely important that if we want to live this extraordinary life that Jesus commands, offers, equips, and provides us with, we have to put it on. It wasn't new to the disciples. Hey, where's my stuff? Oh, I forgot some props. It wasn't new to the disciples. They knew how to wait. They'd been doing it for thousands of years. It comes across, go ahead to the next screen. Comes across here. You know this verse, at least the first part of it. But what you may not know is the purpose of this verse, which comes in the next two lines. You see him up there? A lot of people know, be still and know that I'm God. It's the wait command. Still yourselves. Wait on the power of God. Let him lead from that place of waiting. Because I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. This is the instruction set that Jesus gives at the end of Luke, the beginning of Acts, when he says you're going to be clothed with power of God. You're going to, and here's the second part of it. You're going to be my witnesses. You're going to be preaching and proclaiming. This process of turning around, repentance. You're going to be preaching forgiveness. You're going to be telling the story of my life, Jesus says, in Judea, Samaria, Jerusalem, all the world. That's what's in the psalm. They knew how to do it. I was thinking clothes last night, but then like this morning, it's like, what's a better metaphor? What's a better metaphor? Jesus cared about him. We should care about him. It's Memorial Day weekend. What's a better metaphor? Put it on. Let it come into you. Breathe it out. Get ready. Prepare, right? SPF, spiritual power factor, right? This thing has a banana boat, sport, you know, a triathlete. 50 plus. He knows I got really light skin and I get burned. There's a time to prepare and wait, right? You spray this stuff on, you're going to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit. What if it looked like that? Because if I go out in the mission field without SPF on, man, I get burned. You've seen me after a weekend of fishing. Red face. Why is he so mad? He's naughty. Forgot the SPF. Happens to us. You ever been out in that part of life where you need some SPF, and I'm not talking about the banana boat. I'm talking about the power to forgive somebody. The power to be protected from people's rage and anger and greed. And you need some protection. It doesn't just go on the face. It, like, you got to get some on here. And you know, they tell you, if you read the instructions on this stuff, like wait and the power of the Holy Spirit, these are just instructions on the back of the can, right? Wait. Power of the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. I'm going to spray myself all over you. And if you get it up in like the ultra fine mist, you can even like taste it in your mouth and it like starts to come in. Holy Spirit. But they also tell you, like, just because you spray it on doesn't mean it's ready. It needs a few minutes. Skin's got to get it. It's got to go in deeper. He told the disciples he wanted them to wait. It's got to come in deeper. I need you to know that it's the SPF that protects you. It's the SPF that turns you into a witness. It's the SPF that gives you my heart for mission. It's the SPF that turns your life, an ordinary life, into an extraordinary life, because it's God's life itself living in us. Oh, not enough? Man. What about one of these? It's Memorial Day. Sun's shining today and probably tomorrow. I like this thing. How many pieces of clothing, how many pieces of the Holy Spirit of clothing can you put on to cover yourself in so that people start to see it and you start to get prepped in it and you know, like, oh, shoot, I forgot how this thing works. You ever thought that about the Holy Spirit working in your life? How does that work? It's like, I got to take that back off. I'll be there in another day or two. Thanks for giving me the 10 days. And then you got to figure out how to get this thing off. Oh, that's what that is. That's what grace and love are for. Oh, yeah, sweet. And I haven't even started yet. It took me a little time just to figure out what the thing was for and how it worked. And then, like this really cool thing, you squeeze it and it comes up here. Because if you don't put that on and you get out in the wind and you're on the water, you lose your hat. I'm glad he gave the disciples 10 days before the Holy Spirit came upon them to figure out that they couldn't protect themselves from the sun. They needed some SPF. To figure out that they were actually motivated to continue to wait. As they, like, you know, like when you're waiting, it's like, well, maybe we should go back and pick up our old life. There's nothing going on here. You ever been in that spot? What if the disciples had already gone back? I know he promised the power of the Holy Spirit. We've never felt that type of thing he's promising before. We don't know what it's going to look like. Let's get out of here. You ever felt like that in your own faith? And the book of Acts hasn't even taken off yet. We're in the place of preparation today for it. Same as the disciples were. Will we wait? It's risky in a message to stand up front and like take a slow pace and talk about waiting and, you know, time and ask people, you know, how are you in waiting? And it's like, what, I don't even know what you're talking about. I already got that point. Would you please move on? Yeah. Turn to the Lord. I'm getting out of here. Nothing's going to happen here. But you see, if we're clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit, oh man, do we know how to wait. Because our life has already reached fullness. What's it look like? How do people hear and what's it come? I'll just share with you, I was at baccalaureate this last week and at DCG, been part of that for a couple years now. And every year you hear these faith stories coming alive of God being faithful to complete work that he's doing in young people. There was a girl, a young senior named Emma Kessner, who shared her testimony. We like to call them hope stories because the word testimony kind of makes some people nervous sometimes. I don't know why. Here's what she says. I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, I got something. I got my SPF on. I'm all that. And here comes this like 17 or 18-year-old girl going to tell a story. I'm like, okay, wait till the pastors get up there for the home run. Here's what she says. Hello, all. This is a thing that she wrote, and then she used this as what she spoke that day. She says, hello, all. I thought I'd write a post just to let everyone know that I'll be up to what I'll be up to for the next year. No, I'm not going to college next year. And yes, I'm okay with that. For 9 months, I'll be traveling around the world on loving on God's people and spreading Jesus to as many people as I can. I'll be in Philippines, Botswana, South Africa, Dominican Republic, and Haiti. Why? Entering junior year of high school, I felt a lot of pressures from teachers to have my plan in place, to have my college choice picked out, major decided, future job chosen. I had none of those things in my mind. I had just gotten back from an incredibly humbling mission trip where God really smacked me in the face with some God truth. On that trip, God broke me. My heart was broken for the community and I was working in and the people I was working for. At that point in my life, missions had become something that a majority of my thoughts revolved around. I was struggling to sit through classes and be present in my daily life. Looking at college was not my favorite idea. I didn't want to spend 4 years at school again when I could be out in the world living for God, skipping down. After some research and watching every video on the internet about the world race, I started praying and prayed and prayed and prayed. And although a very few, and through a very few conveniently timed sermons and songs on the radio, thank God, I made my decision. A year later, a long time to wait. A year later, and the Lord has continued to affirm my decision to spend a year out of my life living solely for him. From that point until now, I've had doubts and fears. The holidays have been a bit rough as I come to the realization that I will be away from comforts of home this time next year. It can be a daunting task, but if it were easy, we wouldn't need God. Please join me in prayer for my team and the countries I'll be serving in. Much love, Emma. Can you imagine if in that time of waiting, she went with the pressure of the day? If you have kids, and you know, especially like if you have a kid that's less than one, you're probably already asking that kid, what are you going to be when you grow up? I'm going to give you till you're two to decide, right? And we do this to our young people, and it's right and good to do. Start pressing the dream and bringing dreams into reality. Time of preparation and getting ready. But they have no idea. They're 18, most of them. And the pressure, just think about the pressure a senior feels and has felt for a few years across 4 years of high school. They know the rhythms. It's mainly the only rhythm they've ever seen of life. Their family works like this. It's about school and it's about going on into education. And it is for a lot of them. But specifically today about Emma, what if in these 4 years of her high school career, and I'm saying what if in the perfect tense, I believe it. It's for you to examine and see if you do. The if for me is real. What if the 4 years here have been her 10 days of waiting, of learning how to be clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit? What if she would have missed that? Busyness and planning and doing good things and college visits and just like went with the flow and didn't actually get the SPF on and like she missed it. She actually, you know, missed it. What if that didn't happen for her? What if she wasn't in this period of waiting and preparation where provision comes and she's like later in the letter, I don't know how you pay for this thing. Got to raise like $15,000 and she's got no idea how it works and how it does. Next thing you know, she's like almost there and she's still like, I still don't know how that works. It's provision from God and it's what happens to us. It's what happens, it moves us from ordinary to extraordinary, and we don't quite understand it. This is what we're going to see week after week after week after week across these summer series in the book of Acts. It's the same thing. It's somebody being equipped and clothed with the power of God and walking in it. Now, for other kids, it's going to college. For some, it's straight into the job field. Not really addressing that today. But this particular one, hears God's voice each day and is this time of waiting. You want some of that? You want some of that kind of power? I know you do. I know I do, and I know the world does because it's what God offers and provides. So I know we want it. I know we're actually after it. But sometimes it's not just that we will receive power. Sometimes it's like we memorize that piece of the verse. But thinking back, be still, know I'm God because I will be exalted. Jesus goes on that what this power is for. We see it come alive in Emma here. Go ahead to the next slide. You see, sometimes people call this fine print. Oh, you'll receive power. I want some of that. Oh, read the fine print below. But I don't think it's that kind of fine print. I think it's a fine print that comes like with, man, that's been refined and made excellent, and I want to be part of that, and I want to put that on because it's fine. I think that's the kind of fine print that follows in Acts 1:8. Most of us are going for the first piece of it, and sometimes when we only go for the first piece of it, we leave the SPF at home. Or we wear it, but it's like we don't use it. You see, the power that is coming on the disciples, the power that's coming on you and me, this is what it's for. This is where the fullness of life goes from ordinary to extraordinary, because the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we become witnesses to God. People start not just seeing us, but they see God living in us because it's its power that changes our lives. And we're going to do this in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, all the earth. Well, anybody been to Jerusalem in here? A couple. It's a cool place, I hear. Anybody been to Judea? Anybody been to Samaria? A few. There are a few people that will make this global mission trip, that will become full-time missionaries in other places, that will actually move away and we may never see them again. Or they might come back and so they can receive resources from the church and we can fuel them up to go again. But go ahead to the next slide. Emma's headed into this. And actually, it's not just Emma. We're headed into this. The disciples in their 10 days of waiting were considering this. This is a map up here of the non-Christian population estimated in 2020 in the millions. It's a general map that lets us see where people live in the world who aren't Christians. When Jesus says, you're going to be my witnesses, you're going to go and preach repentance and forgiveness, tell people about the grace that I give, the eternal life that comes with it. And he says you're going to go into Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Sometimes in the way that can be traditionally taught is like Jerusalem, you know, first we like hang around Johnson and Grimes and tell everybody here and get good at it. Then we're going to go, you know, maybe up to Marshalltown, and then we'll keep going farther out that concentric circle, reaching people that are a little bit different from us. And then finally out in Samaria, people that are like not just different from us, but we don't really like them. They're the kind of people, I don't think we have to go a long ways away to meet those people, though. I think some of us might be sitting at soccer games tomorrow or somewhere in a theater, and but I just envision the soccer game. You got the chair and you make the camp because you get there early, get it like on the 50-yard line so you can see your kid go up and down and all this stuff. And then like there's this person sitting next to you, and it's like, I'm going to go get some hot dogs, and I'm taking my chair with me. And then, like, after I come back and get that, I'm sitting over here. You ever done that? You ever found yourself in Samaria? Maybe it's a neighbor on the street, a coworker. Maybe it's somebody in your own family. See, the concentric circles are a lot closer than we think. The power of the Holy Spirit to be clothed is to be a witness every single place that we are, especially always minded for the ones that are the furthest away from God, spiritually or geographically. Here's where all the missionaries are in the world, 2010. If you remember, go back to the map, keep this one on your mind, go back, now forward. See the difference? Why aren't all the missionaries like over in, you know, North Asia and up into Russia, countries across the Middle East? Not allowed. That's why. Not allowed in. Could you imagine being clothed in the power of the Holy Spirit and maybe being like Emma and not even able to think about your day anymore because you get consumed and overwrought with like the people who were not allowed to share the gospel with? The whole purpose of being clothed in the mission of God. What if that overtook our life and like when I stand up here on a different weekend and say, or a Friday e-newsletter and say, hey, bring some friends. This is what I'm talking about. Go back one. See the red dot in the middle? What we know is like in the 5-mile radius, and I've said it before, I'll say it again, 60,000 people, and the absolute majority of them have no real church life. Most of them don't know the story of the book of Acts and how they are offered this power that will change everything in their life. That's why we ask, and that's why I invite. How do we do it? Well, we encourage each other in this time of waiting. Emma was encouraged by her parents. Emma was encouraged by their pastor over at the Methodist Church in Grimes. Emma was encouraged by friends and sports, and her whole life brought her as a time of preparation to say, here I am, Lord, send me. But there are people in this place of waiting before the power comes upon us that help prepare us, that help us teach us how to use the provision, how we will then be providers to the community and the people around us. Here's a few of them that spoke some of these things into Emma across her 4 years of high school.
To get real, I guess I have four pieces of advice that I'd like to give you as you head off into these next steps in your lives, which I promise will be some of the best of your life. First of all, wherever God has you placed and whatever you'll be doing in these next steps, pour yourself into it completely, and I promise you'll be blessed. Second thing, let love and kindness be at the center of every single encounter, and I promise you'll be a difference maker. Third, my favorite Bible verse, Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, you are designed to shine. Point to God every chance you get. And finally, you were made to do great things, and you're loved by the King of the universe. So Go do big things, brave ones. And remember, be safe, be smart, and make good choices. I've loved being a part of your lives for the past 4 years. Good luck. Best wishes.
Good evening, DCG seniors, and congratulations once again on your accomplishment of making it through 12 years of school. It's a great feeling, and I know you're relieved for it to be done. And I just wanted to say thank you to all your seniors for your faithful leadership over the last several years. I've got to know many of you in a great, deep way through FCA, and some of you came and shared your messages, and I've said to multiple of you, you're way, way ahead of your time for 17, 18-year-olds just to be able to express your faith there. And favorite verse of mine is Romans 12:2. So as you guys head off to college, just remember to not be transformed by the world, but to be transformed in the image that God wants you to be. You'll have many obstacles, but kind of just keep Romans 12:2 in your mind as you're going through life and having some of those obstacles. And I'll wrap it up with this. I had many of you in financial literacy, and I couldn't always end class with this, but I'll end tonight with this. There's only one way to financial peace, and that's to walk daily with the Prince of Peace, Christ Jesus, as Dave Ramsey would always tell us. Have a good night, and congratulations once again.
Seniors, you did it. Congratulations. 2 days away from the big event. I just wanted to say congrats and thanks to each and every one of you for making DCG such a special place and for putting up with me. Giving me your patience and your time, and just really welcoming me to this community, and you guys have been a big part of that. And I just want to tell you how, again, proud I am of you, and to know that the future is so, so bright. You know, the good Lord's got a perfect plan laid out for each and every one of you. And a reminder that if you're an Iowa State Cyclone fan and a St. Louis Cardinal fan, your future is just brighter than the others. So that's just a fact. So, in all seriousness, we've talked a lot in the dean's office and now in the principal's office that we're going through ups and downs. There's going to be good days and bad days, but again, the plan is perfect. And God's going to be there every step of the way to help you put those things in the boxes, right? What can you control? And what's just out of your hands, and you've got to turn to God every single time, no matter the issue, the topic, the situation. So good luck to you. Good luck to you all in your very bright future. Thanks again for being a part of the DCG family and making this place such a special place. So stay in touch. Let us know if we can do, you know, whatever we can for you, but God is good, and he's here to take care of each of you and each and every one of us. So as always, have a great day. Change the world. And don't get arrested. Thanks for everything. God bless.
Straight from the principal's mouth. And there are a few arrests in the book of Acts, but we'll get there. Three teachers who got to know young people across 4 years, a time of preparation for them. My parents heard this stuff. They'd not seen this, but I think they probably knew that these were teachers walking the tightrope of what you can say and don't say at school, but they find ways to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to kids. And it rises up anyway. Isn't it great to hear public school teachers quoting Matthew 5:16? I get to do it like freely, no restriction here, whenever we baptize somebody. Let your light so shine before others that they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Be still and know I'm God. Why? Because God will be glorified. Wait. Why? Because you'll be clothed with power from on high and be witnesses so that God might be glorified. Dan James telling kids across 4 years, this wasn't new to them coming out at baccalaureate in the video. Don't conform to the world. Romans 12:2. But be transformed by the gospel itself. Put on the clothing of the Holy Spirit. And then Scott Bloom, the principal, telling people, don't be afraid. God's got a plan for your life. Quoting Jeremiah 29:11. A plan and a purpose for your life. Put on the clothing. Put on the spiritual clothing. Be clothed in the power of God by the power of His Holy Spirit. Every day and every minute of your life. Move from an ordinary life to the extraordinary life that God gives you today. Amen. Let's stand and ask the Holy Spirit to come.